If you're just joining us, this is Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. For years, I've followed the fortunes and misfortunes of an Iraqi family I met in Baghdad in 2003, the family of Dr. Najib Hanoudi. From the start of the war, Dr. Hanoudi, an Oxford-trained Christian ophthalmologist, supported the American invasion and the toppling of Saddam. In April of 2003, on his street in the upscale neighborhood of Mansour, he met an American patrol from the 2nd Brigade 3rd ID. The battalion was called the Desert Rogues.
They called themselves the Rogues or the Rogues or something like that, but they were never rogues. They were very polite, very civilized, and very helpful and very keen on the job which they were doing.
He offered some information to the commander of the Rogues, Colonel Eric Schwartz. There was a weapons cache in the neighborhood belonging to the regime, and so began a deep and ultimately unbreakable relationship. Recently, Colonel Schwartz drove from his home in Pennsylvania to reunite with Najib Hanoudi outside Detroit. They began by looking at some old photos.
So I have your picture when you were coming from Kuwait, when you were caught in that huge brown storm.
Colonel Schwartz remembers what drew him to Najib Hanoudi, even though it's hard to trust a stranger while patrolling in Iraq.
There's this instinct you have, not only as a commander and as a soldier, but just as a man and as a father, that when you meet someone that you trust, it's hard to fight it. He said, well, can we sit around and talk? We sat around the table. We drank some chai tea, which was always the direction to my heart. If you poured a cup of tea, I was always ready to sit and talk. We talked in great detail about the political situation, geography, religion. I learned right at that moment that he was a jewel. He was a national treasure, that he understood so much that we never took the time to learn.
Eric Schwartz was keenly aware that he and his troops were culturally ignorant and that that was a liability. And that's where Najib Hanoudi would prove to be an invaluable asset.
I had an ace in the hole. He's a master teacher, and I would go to him with our plans, and I would ask him to provide the cultural aspect of the mission. Najib, does this make sense? He would shrug his shoulders, and he would say, my kind sir, which essentially meant, I wouldn't do it that way. I would consider that you do it this way, or perhaps a better approach is this.
Dr. Hanoudi vividly recalls those early days of the invasion.
When the Americans came and got us rid of Saddam, I was very happy. And I was with my grandson clapping and jumping and dancing in the street and throwing roses to the Americans. It was amazing.
But the optimism and jubilation of the war's early days didn't last. The next year, in 2004, Dr. Hanoudi's world fell apart. His son Nazar was working as a contractor on an American military base. One day, he arrived at work using an unfamiliar entrance. The U.S. soldier on duty mistook him for an intruder and shot him. Though American doctors in Baghdad tried to treat Nazar, a week later, an Iraqi ambulance transporting him ran out of oxygen. He was left in a vegetative state. It took the Hanoudis 3 more years to come to America with Nazar. They came to Michigan seeking treatment for him, but Nazar died just before Christmas last year in a nursing home. In all the exhausting intervening years, Dr. Hanoudi and his wife and other son rarely left Nazar's side.
There are cases in the literature which have recovered. And all the time, we were hoping that he would be with good care, with the best possible nursing assistance, he would recover. But I always believed that the expected reversal would only happen as a physician, as a scientist, you see, myself, that we need some kind of a miracle. I knew that miracle happened. There is a big power up there. But there was no miracle. In the end, there was actually no miracle. And the story ended a few days before Christmas. And 2 days later, we laid him. We laid him to rest in a cemetery here in Michigan.
The long, lingering death of Nazar Hanoudi is also difficult for Colonel Schwartz to bear.
weighing heavy on my heart was a feeling of guilt and responsibility, because ultimately we chose the Hanoutis. We chose to ask for Nazar's help and assistance in our stabilization of a future for Baghdad. He graciously volunteered to assist us. When we departed, Nazar in turn went and worked for another army unit, another army team, who ultimately killed him. So many of us have a tremendous weight on our heart that if we hadn't involved ourselves in that day, things would have turned out a lot different.
But Najib Hanouti doesn't agonize over the what-ifs or feelings of resentment.
I'm not bitter. I'm not even bitter about the boy, the young boy who shot him, you see, because I would never hope that any father would be in a position like that. But I am sad about it.
And Dr. Hanouti's feelings about the war itself?
I have came to the conclusion that it was either a very bad mistake as a result of some stupidity and not understanding the place they were going into, the planners, not the people who affected the change, who helped us get rid of Saddam, to whom I'm still feel a great debt, or it was some very cynical, you know, bad, terrible agenda by some terrible force.
We'll never have closure. We'll never complete this puzzle, but this is a time for us all to just come together as brothers and as family, more than friends. This is truly a family that was built starting the 11th of April.
Dr. Hanouti's working on a book about what this last decade has meant to him and his family. And it isn't ultimately about the grimmest days of the war, but about what has sustained him in this last chapter of his life.
I have a motto. I have something which I go by. I always said and believe very strongly that a life which is worth living is a life which is lived for the others. And I think that I share some of my life with these people, you see.
His military brothers will be there for him next year when Dr. Najib Hanouti, now 78, and his wife, Firyal, complete the journey begun on a Baghdad street in 2003 and become American citizens. Our program is directed today by Brent Bachman and produced by Phil Harrell. The staff includes Lauren Silverman, Lily Percy, Walter Ray Watson, Amy Held, Acacia Squires, and Sarah Ventry. Special thanks tonight to Emily Fox of WUOM for her profile of the Hanouti family. You can see more on our website, npr.org. Our technical director is Daniel Shukin. At the operations desk, Tom Woodward. The weekend web producers are Melissa Goh, Stephanie Federico, Krishna Dev Cullimore, Steve Mullis, and Dana Farrington. Our reference librarian is Key Maleski, Mathoni Maturi is senior editor, and Steve Lichtai, our senior producer. And for Sunday, that's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. Check out our weekly podcast. Search for Weekends on All Things Considered on iTunes or on the NPR smartphone app. Click on Programs and scroll down. I'm Jackie Leiden. Guy Raz returns next weekend. Until then, thanks for listening. Have a great week.